Hey, this is Russ Dizdar. We are now on part five, The Abyss, the series on The Abyss. Welcome. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Sunday nights, we're live on the radio. Just go to the ShatterTheDarkness.net website, and you can click on the live radio tag, and you can join us Sunday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Little music from the CD Warrior, Archangel. It's entitled To a Sleeping Infidel by Kemper Crab. When darkness falls, we've been talking about the abyss for a number of weeks. We've just now come back from visiting my mother down in Tennessee, and I'll talk about that on the live show, but not now. Listen, when we talk about the abyss, some things that we've got to deal with, do we really believe the Word of God? Do we believe the Bible? Do we believe in biblical prophecy? Because listen, if you do, then what we read in Revelation chapter 9 is all about a catastrophic global impact, an event that every single person who's interested in UFOs, alien abductions, extraterrestrial or extra-dimensional lives, beings, then I want to tell you right now that when we look into the abyss, when we look at what it is, we've talked about it as a containment of some of the most horrific demonic presence. I mean, here is a place that when it is opened, all they know to do is sheer destruction. Like a dam that breaks, like a volcano that erupts, like a hurricane that strikes. But these are living beings with will, emotion, intellect, but they are darkened. And when we come now to this part five of The Abyss, we title it When Darkness Falls. When Darkness Falls. We've read some of the other verses concerning this in Revelation chapter 9, and that's the background. Listen, if you are a New Ager, if you are into psychic abilities, if you're a ghost hunter, a paranormal researcher, then listen, let me encourage you to research this. Even if you're Ed Dames and a remote viewer, let me encourage you to consider some place, some location, unobserved by man, undetected by human perception, technology. Obviously, in biblical revelation, it was known by the demons themselves. Spoken about, abusos in the Greek, again referring to a bottomless pit, a place of containment. Listen, if the demons plead with the living Christ not to be sent there, then even they know. Even they know it is a horrific place. I wonder what one day inside the abyss would be like. A place of containment with millions, millions of demonic entities bent on destruction. Contained there for thousands and thousands of years. Until finally, as we read in the biblical revelation, the king of the abyss, there is an authority that is acquired, that is given, that is got, a legal right, and the door is opened. And we talked about how the smoke will rise, and the sky will be darkened, and the sun will be darkened. And I've already said this is a global event, an event that the whole world will know about and be affected with. Literally be infected. Now, as we looked at this again and again, I want you to hear a few things about this fifth part, when darkness falls, when these entities come down upon the earth. Now, listen, Even if you don't have a Bible, you know on the web you can go to BibleGateway.com. Go to Revelation chapter 9. Take a look at this. Because here is where we see again the sovereign ability of God. Here again is the contrast of the infinite God and finite spirits, no matter how powerful the demonic side is. And you better believe right now that you and I as a human race, we are the ones that opened the door. We are the ones that allowed this to come in. And I would think that traditional Satanists and underground Satanists and European Satanists and real Luciferians, and listen, even New Agers that follow Alice Bailey and Helena Blavatsky and David Spangler and all the rest, that you're in touch with Ascended Masters and the Great White Brotherhood and listening to the voices of what you feel are advanced beings, a master race. Well, I want you to know something, that no matter what kind of charged object you wear, no matter how many demons you think you have, the day the abyss is opened, you will find no protection outside of the sovereign presence and power of God. So I want to speak to those who have listened ahead of time to these series of messages on the abyss. If you believe the word of God, then you've got to take a look at the abyss and realize that it is a future event. It has not yet occurred. It is going to happen sometime in the tribulation period. It will occur as part of this incredible unleashing of supernatural powers. As God is demonstrating his power and his prophecy and his word by the two witnesses that have been unleashed, as Satan has ramped up the highest level of demonic manifestation and the counterfeit incarnation of the Antichrist and the false prophet and the signs and wonders, the counterfeit signs and wonders. Listen, we have been warned, we have been told. Don't say you weren't told. Because when these days approach, in that moment, in that hour, I kind of wonder how the military will react. What will happen with law enforcement and the fire department and FEMA and Homeland Security? What will occur? How will they respond when hundreds of millions of beings flow down upon the earth? When these things begin to attack and bring harm, and as we've already seen in the scripture, that they don't have the right or the authority to kill. But I want you to hear again, like a satanic ritual, they have the power only, listen, not only, but to torture for 5 months. You want to talk about torture? You want to talk about pain? You want to talk about, listen, this is a revelation of the nature of the dark side. Those who play with the powers, those who acquire the powers, those who engage the powers, receive the powers, interact with the powers, conjure the powers, you really don't know what you're doing. You really don't know what their intent is. You really have no idea how far beyond you they are. You have no sense of the depth of this darkness. When this darkness falls, no Satanist, no traditional Luciferian, all the rest of you, you're not safe. And it will be a revelation that the demonic beings that you play with now, that you acquire now, that you summon now, listen, they will bite you in the end. They are not your friends. One day, all of those who have engaged New Age eclectic spirituality have had numerous experiences spiritually. You perceived all of those experiences by either your human intellect, your human intuition, your human abilities, or you are aided by finite fallen spirits. And through those abilities, you could never see behind the mask. You could never see what's behind the curtain. You could never detect the real intent. Don't get me wrong. I know the power of God. I'll talk about that in a few moments. But I also understand in biblical revelation and in dealing with the demonic through exorcism and listening to them. I've heard their voices. I've heard them speak. I've heard them rage. I hear their hatred of man, hatred of God, and their absolute commitment to their agenda. God has revealed again another future event that it's coming. That it's coming, my friend. It's coming. It's coming to this entire... Listen, it's going to infect the entire globe. It's going to infect millions of individuals. And it will be a demonstration of the radical nature of evil. It will be a demonstration of the cold, blatantly cold, arrogant, destructive nature of darkness. Those who play next to the black flame, those who are part of the ancient brotherhood, playing with the powers, opening ritual books, meeting the demons in your meetings. That is nothing in comparison to when the veil is rent, the gate is opened, and dimensionally, these beings come physically, visibly into this world. God has said in biblical prophecy, you know what biblical prophecy is again, the infinite God who knows the beginning from the end and everything in between, all at the same time. The hundreds of millions of possible contingencies, but then also the actual future history. The Spirit of God says in verse 5, Revelation chapter 9, referring to these beings that were let out, they were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. I just spent 6 days down in Tennessee in a hospital at the bedside of my mother, aged, having surgery, her lungs almost gone, forced oxygen through the mask was pumping again and again and again, moment after moment, into her lungs. My mom told me again and again, because the doctors called us in and said she's gonna die. And so sitting at that bedside, looking at her face and thinking of all the days of my blessed mother, seeing the agony, seeing the pain, seeing the hurt at the very edge of death's door, she wanted me to pray that God would take her home. She raised her hands on that third day, saying, "Jesus, take me home." But the opposite occurred for her. Totally miraculous. Extraordinary. She began to go the opposite way. Breathe better. Come out of all of it. And to this day, almost 10 days later, it seems that she's on the path of recovery. It'll be quite different for those who have been struck by these demonic beings. They will agonize. They will suffer. This is not from the hand of God. Let me tell you ahead of time that this torture, this suffering, this pain is not from the hand of God. It will have such an effect on the hearts and lives of individuals. that they themselves will want to die, but cannot. That death would seem to be a better option. Listen, I have done the funerals of those who have committed suicide. I've counseled those who have committed suicide. I've been on the side of a bridge, pulling a woman back on to the right side because she was a jumper, about ready to plunge to her death. In the profiling of suicide cases over the years, the bottom line is, again, the pain and the pressure is so much that death seems like a release. Seems like it. These individuals want to die. They can't die. Death will elude them. Listen, what I'm telling you now is what God gives a picture of for the future. And this happens again and again and again. As God not only gives a picture of the future, he can even quote what men and women say, what women and men feel. He can quote the psychological, the physical, and spiritual effects in advance, because we're talking about actual history, real history, that which will really occur, not just possibility. So if you are somebody that believes the word of God, then you got to understand very clearly, just as you believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, you've got to also come to grips with all the events that will occur prior to the visible revelation of the living Christ, Revelation 19. Take a read. Now, when you think about this chapter and the abyss being opened, and it really hasn't been talked about or expounded upon in any great measure. When you come to look at this chapter, then you're going to see again the sovereign hand of God. When it comes to the full force of radical evil, the full force of satanic evil, the full force of demonic presence, God still has the sovereign, simple sovereign authority and power to protect those who love him. Have you read what the Revelation says? In verse 4, chapter 9, Revelation, these beings were told, John saw this almost 2,000 years ago, and it hasn't yet occurred. These beings will be told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Only people who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. Only individuals who do not have the seal of God. This is talking about the mark of ownership. That's what the Spirit of God is. To those who believed in Christ and received the gift of the Spirit of God, you've received the seal, the mark, the sense of God putting his mark on you of ownership, that you are his in relationship. And I've noticed in demonic encounters with those possessed, demons know whether you have the Spirit of God or not. Demons know whether you are of Christ or not. Demons know whether you believe in the real Jesus. Listen, New Ager. Listen, psychic. Listen, remote viewer. Listen, Mason. Listen. You can believe all you want to in a dumbed down version, a rabbit's foot pocket-sized Jesus that you made up or received from occult circles. You will find no help in false teaching, false versions of Christ. No cult leader will help you. No one who claims to be the Christ can save you. You can have 1,000 spiritual experiences. You can sit on a mountainside and feel the vibrations of the earth if you want. But on the day the abyss is open, without the presence of the Spirit of God in your life, who comes by sheer grace through the person and the work of Christ on the cross, what he's really done, the power he's wielded, the authority he has, the blasting apart of the finality of death, the public destruction of the power, the works of radical, dark, satanic evil. You see, Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 7, won't you read that? If you're a New Ager, maybe even a Satanist, maybe one of those that do the reconnaissance, won't you read right now John's Gospel, chapter 7, and study and see what the prophets foretold 700 years and even 1,000 years before Emmanuel, God in Christ, would visit. The Jesus of the Word of God is unlike anyone you have ever encountered. If you try to turn him into an alien master race being, a higher ascended master, an expert psychic, if you try to turn him into your own little pocket-sized religious figure, then again, you're doomed. Then again, that's what you will have on the day you die, on the day of the abyss, during the days of the reign of the Antichrist, when the visible return of the living Christ who died on the cross 2,000 years ago, prophesied hundreds of years prior, spoken of by elect angels, feared by fallen cherub and angels? Do you know this Christ of God? Do you know the one that walked on water? Do you know the one that raised Lazarus from the dead? Do you know the one who spoke the words, "I tell you the truth, if anyone believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their inmost being, the Spirit of God will come into your life, the power of God." This is how God returns into your life and how you and your life is returned in eternal, personal, relational fellowship with the living Christ. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me, out of their inmost being, in the depths of the depths of the depths of your being, the Spirit of God will be given to you. Your human spirit will be made alive to God. No Satanist, no Luciferian, no Brotherhooder, no black flame conjurer has the infinite Spirit of God dwelling in them, because they reject Christ. They desecrate Christ, or at least try. They hammer away again and again and again. They speak their blasphemies and their mockeries, and they, you know what you do. Does it have any effect on God? When you tear apart animals and when you touch the flesh of men, women, and babies, do you think for a moment that it won't be remembered? You who are without the Spirit of the Sovereign God, you who do not have the seal of God, you who are lost, separated, I don't care how many spiritual experiences you have. Do you have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in you? The book of Romans, chapter 8. If you have, listen, If you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. Check it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. For those who are believers in Jesus Christ, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Spirit of God? Ephesians chapter 1. The Spirit of God dwelling in your life. The presence, the power. When you accepted the living Christ, Christ came in by the power of the Spirit of the living God. That's what it is to be born of the Spirit of God. You cannot see, taste, be a part of the basileia, the kingdom, the rule of God, without the indwelling Spirit of God. The only way to come, listen, God has said it very clearly. No one else has done this. Lived without sin. Lived without bowing to evil and yielding to Satan himself and opening a door. That's why he's called the last man. This is God in human flesh. God has now represented you. He's represented you. And has won the victory for you. You can't do it. You haven't done it. Let me ask you a question. Does the Spirit of God dwell in your life? Do you know the living Christ? Do you have the assurance of absolute, indestructible immortality? Dance with the spirits, the fallen spirits, all you want. They love to distract you. They love to tie your time. They love to cheat humanity. That's why Jesus says the thief, referring to the dark side, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. How much more is that even a revelation? He spoke that in John's Gospel, chapter 10, of this and of these demonic entities that come out of the abyss, who come only to torture, create agony and suffering. If you're someone that says, you know what, I believe in all kinds of spiritual things. If you're one of those ghost hunters and say, man, I've been hunting ghosts. Maybe they've been hunting you. What is your protection? If you die tonight and stand before the throne of God, what right do you have to enter in? You ever read this verse? In the book of 1 John chapter 5, I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you might know, the Greek word gnosko, that you might know by experience, that you might know that you know that you know that you know you have eternal life. I absolutely know that if I die, close my eyes here, instantaneously, I open my eyes before the King of Heaven, before the one who shed his blood on the cross for me, before the one who has the gift of eternal life, who conquered death, sin. Talk about breaking the veil. Talk about breaking. Do you have this seal of God? Because if you play and dance with the demons now, when the abyss is open, you have no, absolutely no protection whatsoever. And this is where the demonic will bite itself. This is where Satanism bites itself. This is where the Luciferians and all those who begin to believe the lie of the man of lawlessness and the ancient hate, who are seduced, who have no idea of the subterfuge and the ultimate sabotage. We're talking about your life. We're talking about your eternity, your destiny. What do you have that will take you into the presence of God, that will move your mortal frail life into an indestructible immortality. When I sat before my mother, seeing her aged body, very few breaths left, and I've been by those bedsides again and again as a pastor for 30 years, I watched people close their eyes and die. I watched as they left permanently their physical body. The Spirit of God says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, it is destined unto man once to die. Biblical death is permanent death. This is not a near-death experience. At the hospital today, I sat next to my friend who had a heart attack. They had to use little paddles to bring him back. And he boldly told me today, as my wife and I sat there, how he seemed to be out of his body, looking down at himself. And when they used the paddles, it jolted him back into his body. He may have had a near-death experience, but biblical death is the end. Are you sure of your eternity? God that gave prophecy after prophecy after prophecy concerning the coming of Christ the first time has given pinpoint strategic insight prophecy of future events. So many of them now that are affecting the world, and so many catastrophic ones to come. Oh, the Antichrist may be alive somewhere on the earth, and someday soon he may come to power. It's all about the economics. It's all about the powers. It's about the oil. It's about the money. It's about world control. It's about a new world order. And I can feel it coming in the air tonight. The thief on the cross recognized his condition. No protection. No gift of eternal life. No cleansing and forgiveness of his sins. No love of God in his heart. A lost man dying on a cross. Next to a sinless Savior who is dying for the sum total of humanity. Your name was there at the cross. It's the revelation of God that he died not only for the sins of those of us who have already come to Christ, but for the sins of the whole world. Read about it. 1 John chapter 2. The thief, the man dying next to the sinless Savior, simply cried out, "Lord, remember me." The Word of God says in Romans that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, do you believe the testimony of God? Do you believe what God says? You're out there believing in all kinds of other things. What do you believe in? What's the source of those beliefs? What's the authority behind it? Are you believing in finite spirits? Are you believing in finite spirituality? Are you believing in deception, seduction? Do you know God? Does he dwell in your life? Jesus looked at the man, and only Jesus can say this. He came from there. He came from there. This is the eternal God the Son. He prayed just prior to being crucified as he knelt to God the Father. "Father, return to me the glory I had with you before the creation of the world." Do you understand the infinite in comparison to the finite? Jesus looked at the dying, lost man who just confessed Christ as Lord and called out to him. Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." There's not a New Ager I've met that has that assurance. There is no one who dances with finite spirituality that I have ever met or read that has that absolute, irrevocable assurance. You better believe Jesus did die, as planned by God. Haven't you read Hebrews chapter 2 yet? Spoken about Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he," referring to Christ, "he too shared in their humanity." He became one of us, man. He became one of us. God became one of us. Do you understand that? The elect angels of God knew that and called him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. They acknowledged it. The demons knew. They feared it. A lost man at the cross. Alice Bailey can't help him now. Helena Blavatsky cannot help him now. Charms around his neck, no help. Money, no help. Conjured demons, no help. Psychic abilities, nope. Remote viewing, none. Paranormal research, histories, no help there. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. If any man believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." We touch on this issue of the abyss. I'm telling you again. No seal of God. Evil bites itself. A revelation of the nature, the destructive nature. Why buy into that? Why not come out of it now? Come out of the darkness. Come out of the darkness, even you who've experienced the powers and conjured the powers. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Your demons fear him. Your demons know. Jesus Christu. May the demons even now be rebuked by the authority of Christ. And you, my friend, realize the demons fear and tremble at the name Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, no seal of God, no safety. Not now, not then. No seal of God, no safety. Not now and not then. No seal of God, you're not God's. And God is not yours. God sets the limits here, my friends. Constantly limiting radical evil. Constantly limiting the effects. Without the intervention of God, the human race would have plunged into absolute annihilation. In the first 2,000 years of human history, go to Genesis 6 and read about it. The Nephilim. Once again, the song to a sleeping infidel. "Wake up, O sleeper, and let Christ rise upon you. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved." Call on Jesus Christ now. Renounce the demonic realm. Accept Jesus Christ and receive the Spirit of God into your life. Be born again of the Spirit of God. Get the seal of God. Get the love of God. Get the peace of God. Become a child of God. Bow where you are. Cry out to God. You're no different than the man on the cross. You're on your way. Death will catch up. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul? What will you have at that day? Will you continue to dance for the demons? Do you think the Antichrist will save you? This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Part 6 and also a Part 7 will come out in the next few weeks. I pray that you will open your heart to God if you haven't done it. The Word of God says, whosoever calls in the name of the living Christ right here and right now. Now is the day of salvation, my friend. Do it now. Do it now. You can write to me at ShatterXmail, SBCGlobal.net. I pray that you will open your heart to Christ, receive Jesus and the gift of the Spirit of God, the seal of God, my friend.